This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. Sustainability is said to be the single most important goal of the century. And while the growing attention on cutting our carbon footprint is a welcome development, much more needs to be done. Sustainability needs to become as important a consideration as the return on any investment. So the KWAP Inspire Environmental Conference 2018. Now, that's a two-day conference themed Inspiring Action for a Better Tomorrow, and is hosted by KWAP, the Retirement Fund Incorporated, together with the Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF, as part of the Sustainable Investment Week 2018. And joining me now to share more about the conference and how the finance sector must play a role in the fight against climate change are Dr. Keith Lee, the Sustainable Finance Engagement Manager at WWF Malaysia, and Ismail Zakaria, the Director of the Corporate Strategy and Performance Department at the Retirement Fund Incorporated. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Juliet. Thanks so much for having us here.
Juliet, it's me. Thank you very much, Juliet, for having us today.
My pleasure. So let's get to know you, both of you a little bit. Maybe, Keith, we can start with you. Tell me a little bit about the role that you play within WWF Malaysia.
Sure. Maybe just worth taking a moment to step back and talk a little bit about WWF's role in sustainable finance more generally, because I think that is something that people don't necessarily connect WWF with immediately, finance and, wildlife conservation. We are historically a conservation organization, and conservation of wildlife has been our primary goal. But recently we've recognized that, sustainable development more generally is critical, and that goes beyond simple wildlife conservation. And so in addition to our goals of working on freshwater issues, climate and energy, forests, wildlife, and so on, we also recognize that there are cross-cutting drivers with which we have to engage with in order to drive sustainable development forwards. Mm-hmm. And among these are the finance sector, because the finance sector provides a lot of capital, which enables businesses to move forward with economic activity. By engaging with the finance sector, there's an opportunity for the finance sector to actually influence the companies that it invests in and it lends to, mm-hmm. To influence them to improve their environmental performance. And the finance sector can also provide crucial funding for projects which are contributing directly to climate change mitigation and adaptation, or sustainable development more generally. Mm-hmm. So in my role at WWF as a Sustainable Finance Engagement Manager, I work very closely with the finance sector stakeholders, be it investors, banks, or relevant regulators, to perform advocacy, to help them understand the business case for sustainable finance, and then to do capacity building and research to support them along their journey.
That's a lot. There's a tough job right there.
Yes, there's a lot of work to be done.
And I think, from the Paris Agreement, I mean, we all have our NDCs. We all have so much that we've signed up to. And I suppose your role is even more important now that we've all signed up to the Paris Agreement as well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of work to be done. With the Paris Agreement, countries and companies are making commitments to limiting the climate warming scenario to well under 2 degrees. Mm-hmm. And if that's to be the case, there needs to be a whole sort of mind shift in the way that we think about how we're financing companies on the ground.
Okay. And that's where I guess the Retirement Fund Incorporated comes in, which is, it's an interesting collaboration happening here. But tell me, Ismail, about why the KWAP is actually in, organizing an environmental conference.
It's a question that I've been receiving a lot from people out there. The moment we announced that we want to conduct this environmental conference together with our partner, WWF, I think as a pension fund, in short, pension funds is in the business of long term, mm-hmm. Because we are managing pensioners. And given pensioners' longevity, and these days people live up to the age of 75, 78. So COP is essentially in the business of long term, and we need to ensure the fundings are there for us to pay the pensioners, the hardworking pensioners of Malaysia. So therefore, translating into our business activities, whereby pension funds like us, just like any other institutional investors, our returns and performance are highly dependent on how the corporates, the investee companies that we invested are performed. Mm-hmm. So that's where the word sustainability comes in. We are not just looking from short-term return, but we're also looking in the context of medium to long-term returns. And given, like what you mentioned earlier and Chris mentioned earlier about this Paris Agreement, UN-backed initiative, especially the Sustainable Development Goals number 13 to combat climate change. So we felt compelled to come in to play our role, and we want to play a proactive role with regards to sustainability. I think last year we conducted an international conference on corporate governance, whereby about 400 people attended our conference, representing about 20 plus countries, and we have about close to 15 pension funds around the globe descended to KL. It was a very, very successful conference where it talked specifically on governance. So moving on, we thought that under the leadership of our CEO, Dato' Wan Kamaruzzaman, we think we want to hit another part of the sustainability, which is environments, which I personally felt that not much has been talked locally with regards to creating environmental awareness. Mm-hmm. I mean, before going into the finance parts of the environment, just about environment alone, I think not much has been organized, especially from institutional investor perspective. So that's why this conference will feature, among others, to talk about, to raise awareness what is happening globally outside Malaysia with regards to climate change, and we bring it down to local context. And then we will dwell further into the role that financial or investment community can do to help to combat climate change.
Okay. Don't you wish all corporations were this, on board with it?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Maybe we can do a little bit of a 101 now about green financing. Sure. I mean, we hear terms like climate finance, green bonds. Keith, maybe you can help explain what these different things are, or are they all the same thing under different names?
Sure. Yeah, I think there has been a proliferation of different terms that are being used to refer to this general idea of sustainable finance, responsible investment, responsible lending. You know, and you mentioned climate finance and green finance. I think as climate finance would suggest, as the name might suggest, I think it refers to, you know, the offering funding for projects which have some kind of beneficial impact in terms of climate change mitigation or climate change adaptation. And green finance is a term that people might use to refer to financing projects which have some other form of benefit, whether it's climate change, you know, it could be other environment-related issues such as water management or waste management and so on. But I think it's also important to talk more generally about the idea of sustainable finance, because, you know, when we talk about climate finance or green finance, we're thinking about projects which have this direct link mm-hmm. to with environmental benefits.
Sure.
But it's also important to take a step back and think about this notion of sustainable finance, which refers to how investors and banks are actually integrating environmental and social considerations into their day-to-day lending and investment operations as well. I mean, I hope I've made the distinction clear. So, you know, in their everyday investment processes, say, they might be looking at a company which at the surface level has nothing to do mm-hmm. with, providing environmental benefits or anything. But that company is bound to have some sort of impact on environmental issues, on social issues. And it's very important for investors or banks to take those issues into account. And that's what I would like people to take away as understanding sustainable finance.
Okay. It's not, because I guess a lot of people just put the word green and just imagine that's automatically environmentally sustainable, but that's not always the case, is it?
Yes, that's true. And I think the definitional issues are certainly there. So, you know, you mentioned green bonds, for instance. The green bond market is really hot right now. Globally, there's a growing number of issuances of green bonds. But, you know, the intention is very much for the use of proceeds for the bonds to contribute to generating environmental benefits on the ground.
Okay.
But there are a lot of questions about, you know, how do you define green?
Yeah.
And so from our perspective, it's really critical that the definitions that you use to identify green projects are rooted in rigorous science-based criteria and standards. And that's how, you know, we make sure that something with a green bond label is actually contributing on the ground to sustainable development.
And I suppose that is how you compare it to a regular bond, you know, the impact it makes on the environment as well. Is that a consideration?
Yes, in general, that, you know, a green bond is ideally something which has that additionality. This concept of additionality is really key. And, you know, it's not just, you know, when you design the green bond or identify the project that's going to be funding, the plans for the use of proceeds are important, but it's also important to have a framework, a very robust framework in place to ensure that the proceeds are going to the project that they were earmarked for, mm-hmm. and then also that there's monitoring and reporting over the entire life cycle of the project to ensure that the intended benefits are actually being materialized and that the environmental benefits are being seen over the entire lifespan of the project.
I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that these will also be longer-term projects as well because we're taking into consideration environmental impacts and things like that.
Yes, I think that's a fair assessment.
Okay, all right. And are we seeing a lot of green bonds in Malaysia at all, Ismail? Is that something that's happening or that we've seen at all happening in Malaysia?
I think to the best of my knowledge, I think there are lots of developments and initiatives have been pushed forwards by the regulatory bodies. If I'm not mistaken, Securities Commission in recent years came up with the some kind of framework to promote and advocate this green bond, especially in the space of Islamic financing, as well as our central bank are also promoting the same. But I think the supply is still limited locally because this is a recent, fairly recent trend with regards to green finance. I mean, not just Malaysia, even globally. Probably on the other parts of the world, say Europe and US, they're probably a bit more advanced. But in Malaysia, I believe still at nascent stage, supply is rather limited. But from Quad perspective, as an institutional investor, we are one of the institutions or people that would love to invest in this kind of instruments, provided it meets our risk returns parameters. So we are waiting and very keen to participate in the subscription of any green finance instruments, insurances in the future. And this is the role that we are playing with regards to the environmental conference that we are organizing. So we want to create a high level of awareness among all stakeholders in the financial and investment fraternity, mm-hmm. The importance of considering to issue bonds in the future that is aligned with green principles so that people like us and our peers, I mean the EPF, etc., could consider and participate and support together with the issuer support, the growth of green financing in Malaysia.
Okay. And I just wanted to pick on something that you said, you know, guidelines, you know. Yeah. I'm sure they exist, but how do we actually know that those are enough just based on like what's happening across the world? Maybe Malaysia is still at the nascent state, as mm-hmm. he was saying. But what sort of guidelines really need to be in place to make sure that everything is actually, you know, happening?
Right. Mm. So as I mentioned, you know, the definition of green is one thing, and I'll touch upon that. But in you know, those guidelines, there should be considerations for reporting and monitoring. And then, you know, together with those, there's the need for identifying those key metrics that you are monitoring and reporting on over the life of the project. And, you know, as I hinted at earlier, I think it's really important for these metrics to be based in science.
Science, yes, you did say that.
And so, you know, if we come back to the Paris Agreement, there's this idea of keeping the climate warming scenario to well below 2 degrees. And so in terms of the science on climate, that should be our benchmark for looking at whether a project is achieving its goals of addressing climate change or not, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just take the opportunity to talk about this science-based targets initiative, which WWF is contributing towards together with the 2 Degrees Investing Initiative and the World Resources Institute and the CDP. And essentially, it's an initiative via which companies can actually sign up to set targets for emissions reductions that are in line with a 2-degree world.
Okay.
And that basically by setting these targets, the companies are communicating to stakeholders, including the finance sector, that they are taking appropriate science-based steps towards reducing their impact on climate change. And, you know, from a financial perspective, that is definitely an indication to investors and banks that they are insulating themselves from the worst of the risks that climate change presents to their business models.
If I may add to the questions and the answers just now, is that from investors' perspective, this climate change represents both sides of the coins, risks as well as opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So we are mindful about what type of investment that may pose a risk as a result of this climate change, things like stranded assets, investment related to fossil fuels that may be probably negatively affected as we move towards low carbon intensity investments in the medium to longer term.
Sure.
But we're also looking from what would this climate change issue pose or come up with opportunities for us. Things like investment in the renewable energies, cleaner energies, and investing in the initiatives that promoting innovation or coming out with solutions to address climate change. So it's not all bad with these climate change issues. It poses opportunities as well for the institutional investors to look into and work with corporates out there in terms of exploring what kind of investment that supports these climate change initiatives, which would be works well for both sides, I mean, investors as well as the corporates. So that's how I would add from investors' point of view.
Sure. And I guess the issue here is just changing mindset, isn't it? It's not that the environmentalists are fighting against the corporates or anything like that. It's how we can find something cohesive to work with together.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. And are we seeing a lot more of that happening? I mean, what can companies actually do to scale up their climate finance?
I think, you know, this notion of scaling up, I think at the moment, a lot of the investments that are needed in the climate space or in sustainable development more generally, private investors may not be ready to put their money there because of the risk that is there, you know, and the returns are not necessarily commensurate with the level of risk that they might have to take with those investments. And so increasingly there are people working on innovative financing mechanisms to take public finance and combine it with private finance to help scale up the impacts that they're able to achieve. And so you have development finance institutions providing lumps of capital and then combining it through innovative structuring, basically the way the funds are put together to provide an investment fund which reduces the risk that private investors take on. So essentially what the fund does is it invests in projects that private investors may not be willing to touch on their own.
Okay.
But with the public institutions' money there, the public institutions and the way that the fund is structured, the public institutions take on the bulk of the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables them to attract in more private capital than they would otherwise be possible.
Okay, so it's almost like a security measure.
Yes.
Okay.
In a sense.
Okay. All right. So I think this is something that needs a lot more discussion. And I guess that's where the KWAP Inspire Environmental Conference 2018 comes in. Tell me a bit about that, you know. Tell me about the speakers and the topics that are going to be covered.
Okay. It's going to be a very, very interesting and exciting conference. That's why from the very beginning, we have partnered with WWF to make sure the contents are relevant, the lineup of speakers are the one that people will look for to come forward to attend the conference. So it will be a 2 days conference. It will be held next week, 17 and 18 July at Grand Hyatt Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping that listeners out there would sign up for the conference. You can look for more information at our microsite. It is coopinspire.com.my. We are also on Instagram to promote our conference. I mean, in line with the social media appetite these days, you can look for it on Coop Inspire, whereby you can gain more information about the conference. Just a little bit about the topics that we will cover during the conference. I think we will start by talking about the state of the climate on the global scene, what's really happening out there, especially with regards to the 2 degrees effort, as mentioned earlier by Keith. We're going to have Robert Swan. He's a famous environmental campaigner that will start the conference on day one. And he also a polar explorer, I believe, and sure that he will share his experience when he was over there. And then we will move on to a more serious topic. Sorry, before that, after we talk about the environmental issue, the global scene, we will bring it down to Malaysia situation, what's happening really in Malaysia. Then we move into the linking environmental issues with the role of the financial institutions. We're going to have people like the head of UNEP, Finance Initiatives, Eric Usher, to be with us. We're also going to have a senior person from WWF.
Yes, Jeannie Stamp, head of Asia Sustainable Finance, will be there to share the civil society perspective on how financial institutions can fulfill the crucial role that they have to play in driving sustainable development.
Okay. Yeah.
And we also will talk a topic that I mentioned earlier about stranded assets. How do we look about the risk posed or imposed by stranded assets, as well as green finance, the thing that we'll be talking at the first few minutes of this interview just now. then we will move on into think about linking financial institutions as the key drivers of these Paris agreements. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about trends in asset owner investment strategies with regards to how they manage environmental and social risks and opportunities. Then we also will feature some selected local NGOs who have done great work in promoting environmental conservation, even on upcycling. How do we manage waste management? So that will be also part of the topic that we've discovered. So we're going to make it very interesting, apart from the business leaders, people from the government bodies, NGOs, but we also have people who are really doing the real environmental conservation works to be part of the conference. And towards the end of the conference, which is on the second day, 18 July, probably a bit of prelude, we're going to have Institutional Investors Council. Mm-hmm. For your info, that recently Institutional Investors Council has been formed, where members are Co-op and peers like us, EPF, PNB and so on, will come on stage to read a pledge about our commitments towards supporting initiatives, activities towards preserving environment, and also to take that into consideration with regards to our investments decision-making process.
Okay.
So that's how we're going to end that conference. And this is probably my last word, is this is in line with the tagline of conference, is igniting action for a better tomorrow. So it's not just to talk, to explore, but we want to end the conference with a pledge, with an action plan, which then will be impetus for the investment and financial community to do more concerted efforts in the future.
Okay, so sounds wonderful. And I guess, who are you hoping will come, and you know, who are your target audience?
Okay, quite a diverse group of people, especially certainly people from the financial institutions, the banks, insurance companies, asset owners like Co-op, EPF, PNB, etc. Asset managers, all these, the external fund managers who are also managing the funds on behalf of the asset owners. We also want them to have the same understanding like the asset owners with regards to these topics. Mm-hmm. And we also have local NGOs, government bodies who are involved in promoting environmental cause to be part of the conference. And actually, it's also open to anyone, public, who wants to be part of this very noble cause on the environmental issues.
Okay, all right. So a mix of finance, a mix of civil society, a mix of just, you know, regular folk like myself.
Exactly. We also have going to have regulatory bodies to come in and to be part of the conference.
Okay. And just from the civil society point of view, I mean, are you hoping that a lot more people will come in and, you know, pressure the financial sector as well?
Well, I think every bit of advocacy is valuable. Mm-hmm. So I would certainly encourage listeners at home, you know, if, you know, even if you're not a big financial institution wielding hundreds of billions of dollars, I think you can certainly support your banks and your pension funds and the other financial institutions who are managing your money to make sure that that money, you know, is being used in a way that contributes to sustainable development.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Keith Lee. He's the Sustainable Finance Engagement Manager at WWF Malaysia, and Ismail Zakaria. He's the Director of the Corporate Strategy and Performance Department at the Retirement Fund Incorporated, or KWAP. And we were talking about the two-day conference themed Inspiring Action for a Better Tomorrow. And this is the KWAP Inspire Environmental Conference 2018. So that, again, is happening on the 17th and 18th of July. And if you'd like to find out more, their website is coopinspire.com.my. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.